Welcome back to another episode of Journey into the Vortex, where metaphysics meets real life. My name is Mary Roseman, and I'm joined by my co-hosts Marcella Nitschke and Heather Wells. We are three ordinary women who have seen our lives transformed into the extraordinary through the discovery of the metaphysical laws and principles. And that is exactly what we want to share with you each week as we try to unravel the mysteries of the universe and discover how expanding your consciousness through metaphysical awareness can bring clarity, purpose, and transformation to your life. So let's get started. Hello there, and thank you for joining us today. We're going to embark on a very interesting subject, one that we have experienced a lot, both personally and with our friends, and that is women's health and the fear around it. And before we even begin, we want to create a disclaimer. In no way, absolutely no way, are we giving you any medical advice? We are sharing with you our experiences and how we dealt with our situation. What we're embarking on today is the fear around these decisions. And what we're trying to encourage are women to make decisions in love, with a clear mind, being in tune with your body. Totally in tune with your body. And yeah.
So Heather, you were telling us about you were with your girlfriends this weekend and you
we were all discussing women's health, because as our podcast like to say, we are ordinary women and we are all of the age where we're encouraged to have mammograms, we're encouraged to have pap smears, we're encouraged to have colonoscopy, you know, all these things for health reasons. And what I noticed with my friends, some of them were very passionate, but very fearful of the results of these exams. And, but they felt they were very necessary. And, but the fear that, you know, all they kept saying was like, until you get the results and you sit in this waiting room and and you just, I think they're planning their funerals, honestly, literally, like some of them even said that, you know, that they're just, you know, that's just the society we're in right now, that we have such elevated technology when it comes to preventive medicine, I would say.
Right.
So at what point, to me, is it fear-based or is it productive, I guess, is what I'm saying. I guess that's my feeling. Mm-hmm. I just sat and listened to them, and they were, several of them were very passionate. Several of them were very fearful, dreading the next exam they had to have.
So you went back in the closet.
I did go. Well, I kind of said a few, and then the minute I said, and this is just a personal thing, but I have not had a mammogram and I have not had a pap smear since for years, and they couldn't believe it. And I just said, I don't have any family history, I don't have any fear about it, I don't have any indicators, I just don't know.
Yeah,
I know that it's told to us that we're supposed to have this at a certain age, but I don't have 1 ounce reason to believe that I am of a risk factor of this. And that's, but, and so by saying this, they were like, oh my God, how can you not? Like, oh, they could. And I finally just said, I do focus on my health, and I do focus on, I think, and I even brought up the fear factor and the stress level that goes into health. And I said, I actually,
and you can create stuff,
yes,
like just by fearing.
And
it,
I said, I honestly spend my time, I choose to focus and work on not being stressed with life. And, you know, that comes through meditation, and that comes through
even applying the tiny, the most basic metaphysical principles.
Right.
Is enough to make a decision A different decision. Not be fearful of that. What would you? Well, you're already expecting your body to do something that is that you create your reality, right? Metaphysics teaches us that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you are already telling yourself you are creating a sickness in your body that you don't know about, or you know
that you're looking for that you exactly. didn't even have. Or
yeah. I would say, look, if you are fearing that, look what's in your mind. Because
right.
yes, if you have or fear, if you have anger, maybe you should be concerned.
Or you
maybe
have
you should
been
go for this.
Influenced. By
yeah society. But I know what that means when you say I've never had one, because I had shared that a few times, and oh my gosh, even close friends would really be concerned about me, like
yes.
worried about me. The last thing I want is people to worry. You've
and that's
never had a pet
that's
scene?
What I woke up the next morning going, oh my god, talk about coming out of the closet. Then I felt like I have all this fear
projected onto
me, which I don't accept, but we're all worried about
yeah,
me
yeah.
that I have not been mm-hmm. doing preventative testing. And,
is your diet good?
Yes.
Do you exercise?
Yes.
Yes, you are practicing
yes.
preventive care.
Yes.
Absolutely.
But anyway, I just was, I wish you could have been in the room, because even before I just sat there in silence and listened, and they were talking about these testing facilities and the rooms they were in, and
oh my goodness,
two of them have to go every 6
and they
months
smash your breast.
Yes,
like I've heard that. Mm-hmm. Sorry, continue and then I'll
no
tell
I was
you
just gonna
story.
Say two of the girls go every 6 months because they have a family history of it. They've never had cancer, they've never even had a false positive or anything, but they have to go every 6 months because they have let their doctors know that they have had a family history
mm-hmm.
and or had a genetic test that could indicate. So they live every 6 months in fear, this is going to be the time. This is
and they don't have anything.
And they don't have anything. I don't know. So I think metaphysically, what we talk about just with health is you can create. Do we have that power to create illness?
Absolutely.
Well, yeah.
Just
we are creators.
But you're not going to fix it like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Even if they find something early and they try to heal you, if you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Heal your mind. What gave birth to that?
So if you fear, and you have a genetic precursor, when you do get someday diagnosed, you're gonna be like, "See, I knew it. My grandmother had." You know, like
well,
I
metaphysics
feel like,
teaches you that. It
yes,
says you are actually going to prove that, because that's what the ego does.
Right.
You know, the subconscious makes sure that everything that is in your mind gets evidenced in
right.
the material world. So
right.
Yeah.
We wanted to have this discussion and talk
well,
about
we have
fear.
Someone here who has, I think you have authority to speak about this because she is doing it.
Right.
We are, but Mary.
Yeah. The first time I found a lump, and I have had mammograms before. I hadn't had one in a while, and I found this lump.
But you found it yourself.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I sought out a... holistic doctor, and I told her, I will jump through whatever hoops you want, but here are my parameters. No mammogram. She goes, we don't do mammograms. I'm going to send you for a sonogram, which was not painful at all. And then I, you know, she proceeded to tell me, all, you know, with my blood work and everything, how she heals cancer. And then she suggested that I go read these other books. And I went through it all, and she ended up leaving town. So for a while, I was kind of on my own until I found another doctor. And this time, this doctor was a regular doctor who I asked her she would take my case on and that I didn't want chemo or surgery. And she was like, fine, but you're going to go see an oncologist and you're going to go see a surgeon. And then you'll come back and you'll talk to me. And by the way, I'm not going to take that sonogram. I want you to go to this place and do this sonogram. So I jumped through her hoops. And here's, you know, the difference between walking into, say, an oncologist's office to get chemo and a practitioner's office to receive high doses of vitamin C. People that are getting the vitamin C's are all happy and we're all chatting and you get to know the beloveds who are on your same schedule. The phlebotomists are so friendly as opposed to the morgue, the on-call. It was just people were sad, they were weak, they were sick. I can't even describe. And so I knew that I wouldn't heal in that environment. And
can I ask you something? Uh-huh. The difference when you went to the first holistic doctor mm-hmm. versus when you went to the other, was there a difference of, this is just what I'm going to assume. Mm-hmm. The first doctor was hopeful. Mm-hmm. And the other doctor
was covering her ass.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
That's okay. No, that's...
No, she was very hopeful. But she was, she didn't know me. I just walked off the street, right? She didn't know me. So she needed to know that I was going to be juicing every day. You know, that I was not going to put one thing of sugar in my mouth. It's a grueling, you know what I'm saying? It's not easy, but it's not chemo either. So she just had to know that I was really committed. So she did the right thing. And all it did for me was one of the doctors, I brought my husband, and I regretted bringing my husband because they just put him in a horrible state of fear. And we're walking out, and I'm pointing out to him different things. And he said to me, "Aren't you scared?" And I said, "No." And that's not a healing environment at all. And
How long ago did this start?
That was 2015, the first time. And keep in mind, the tumor was maybe 3 centimeters. They wanted to take both breasts off and some of the... And I refused to do the biopsy because it spreads it to the lymph nodes. They will... And I got... Yeah. So anyway, that's what they were telling me. And one doctor said that I would have to go on chemo. The other doctor, both of them said both breasts got to go, even though the left girl had nothing. And then they also said that, or the other one said, "We're going to shut you down of all hormones." I mean, it just...
You were in hormones? How did they do that?
I'm not really sure. I didn't stick around to ask. Yeah, they were going to shut my hormones down because they said it possibly could be hormone related.
Possibly.
How mm-hmm. did they do that?
And they would have known if I would have let them do the biopsy. They would have known which route.
Okay.
Right? Okay. But I walked out, went back, and I said, "Okay, I need help. I don't know where to this, my new doctor. I need vitamin C.
Infusions.
Mm-hmm. And I just asked her these different questions, and she too told me she knew where to go. She would tell me the different places to go. I called a friend who helped me go pick out the Vitamix and teach me how to juice. Then I found another beloved who helped me with supplements the first time around. And then the second time it came.
Wait.
Mm-hmm.
When you say the first time around, it was gone, right?
Yeah, totally. 3 months. Went back and got the sonogram, and they're just like, now, keep in mind, when I got the sonogram and I had the lump, the radiologist came out to talk to me. He was like, "This is not good. This is critical. Goodness. This is very concerning. And we're sending these right to your doctor. You've got to get, you know." And so then I came back 3 months later, got the sonogram. No lump. And they asked...
Was it the same radiologist?
No. I have no idea, because you know what? He would not come out and talk to me.
Oh, okay.
He wouldn't give you the good news, but he would come out and tell you the bad news.
She came out 4 different times and would disappear. And I was like, I'm in a hurry and I'm really annoyed by now.
They're not like...
And she came back in and asked me the last question, and I said, "Tell him to come talk to me. Tell him if he really wants to know how I healed this to come talk to me. But this is ridiculous." And she doesn't know what to say. She's in the middle of it. And she goes, "Well, were you on any antibiotics?" "No, I don't take antibiotics." And she just looked at me kind of, and I said, "I got to go. I trust you'll send those records to my doctor." And I shimmied out of there. And so I was cancer-free or lump-free for 2 years.
And let's be clear, you really don't even know that it's cancer.
Right.
We don't
know, because I did not allow them to get the biopsy.
So let's not use that word.
For 3 years.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then when Jim had the heart attack, y'all, I'm in the middle of caretaking both my daughter and my husband, and I feel it coming back.
And you
and
were
your stress
moving.
Level.
You were stressed because you, so you were moving. Right?
I had just moved.
Your husband was having...
had a heart attack. And he had been to two cardiologists that said it wasn't his heart. Now he has a massive heart attack. Now he's in a coma. And now Sarah is on the verge of... she just wasn't doing good. I don't know if she was going to end up in the hospital. And I am really, really stressed out. Keeping up with my protocol, right? But you can imagine the cortisone level in my body,
right.
The stress level, right? So here's what I have to say about the holistic practices too. Because this second time around, the beloved who helped me with my supplements told me to go get a... It's where you test your blood for ketogenics to see if your body is in ketosis.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. And it was in ketosis. I'm like, of course it's going to be in ketosis. Quit bragging. Just do it. You know, because they don't believe you. They think you're cheating. Every time it's in ketosis, right? And the tumor's still growing. So yes, you can be on the diet. You can be whatever. But if you are in an enormous amount of stress, and at the time, y'all, it took me a few months to say, I don't care about this stress. I don't care that I'm the only caretaker here. I'm leaving. I'm going to get counseling. I'm going to go get spiritual coaching. I'm going to go to yoga. I'm going to do breath work. It took me, because it's a mind-body-spirit regimen, you've got to take care of everything. You can't just do one component.
You can't just juice and then have a highly stressed,
right.
Fear-based.
Well, say, you know, it's like people go to traditional methods of healing this. Some people go through chemo and they disappear the tumor, but what happens?
That's a good
and
point.
Whether you do it naturally or whether you do it through this, you know, the other processes that are, you know, that are very
right.
hard on the body, if you don't address the real cause, which is the stress, whatever is trapped there in that subconscious
mm-hmm.
mind, that is, you know, it's
right.
going to come back, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and metaphysics would tell you, okay, and I have no issues, dear listener, no issues saying to you, I created this. I don't feel any shame about it. It just is what it is. Now, there are some times I don't get fearful because I really know I'm not going to die of this, but I am a little aggravated because the first time around, I healed it in 3 months. Why? You know, it's like, oh my gosh.
Why'd you let your guard down? Why'd you, yeah.
What more do I need to learn? Because this is a learning process.
Yeah, you're taking, yeah.
It's a learning process. It's a, right? So what have I learned from this? Well, I've had many gifts since this has occurred, right? But I still haven't alleviated this yet. And
well, you look very healthy.
Yeah, like you would never
you don't even know if it's cancer, right?
I don't.
Yeah.
Except, you know, the second time around, I did see a surgeon and an oncologist. You know, the whole nine yards, I had to repeat it all over again.
Ovaries and everything else, probably.
I didn't even pay attention. I was just honoring the new practitioner that I had by jumping through the hoops. Yes, I've been there. Yes, I've done what you said. Now can we start this new course of... right.
So tell us, what did they tell you the second time you were to...
Go home and get your affairs in order.
Wow.
That's what she told me.
This
second time around, I wasn't disrespectful. I was just kind of airheadish, not listening. And she asked me, you're not taking this seriously. And I go, I absolutely am. I was more curious this time around to see if you would take it out without doing the biopsy. Absolutely not. Well, it's my body. It's my body. And, you know, so I don't. And that's all I'm going to say. And she's just kind of stunned. And she was, you know, and it was a very, I don't remember it all, probably because I kind of zoned off this time around, right? Because I believe everything's energy. And I was putting myself in a crunchy, energetic environment to cross the T's and dot the I's for my new doctor. But I was determined not to inhale any of the fear there, right?
So, wow. So what comes to my mind is how much fear and stress play a role in our health.
I will go even a little deeper, because it's not about saying, oh, I need to not to be stressed. No, why am I fearful? Why am I stressed about? And kind of going a little...
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree.
I would say, how many false beliefs I have in my subconscious mind, mm-hmm. that I am still feeling fearful or stressed, or that I am vulnerable to this situation. You had extreme situations. I mean, a husband in a coma, your right. daughter sick, moving. I mean, all these things.
All the major things in life.
Right, you were being, right. Yeah. Now, you were obviously also created that. So,
sure.
Right.
Yeah, I absolutely did create that. And I'm telling you, listener, when you own it, once you own it, now that's not to beat yourself up. It's like, okay, here we are. Where do we go from here? And the first thing you do is you forgive yourself. You absolutely, positively forgive yourself.
That step, the Course mm-hmm. in Miracles, acknowledges that acknowledgement and the owning, being accountable for your reality, is a huge, powerful, powerful step.
Mm-hmm.
That alone will give you, open up huge doors. Mm-hmm. I mean, that alone is huge.
This is not like a woman's study, but it's kind of relevant right now. I don't know if you remember, but about a year ago this time, a little more, I got shingles in my eye and all over my face. And mm-hmm. again, coming yeah. off of a highly stressful, not a bad stress like yours. Mm-hmm. It was a good stress, but my youngest was going to college and empty nester. And I was, you know, it was like a busy stress, not a bad stress. And I'm not, if it was not the day she left and everything was good, and it was like a good feeling, if I did not get like the worst migraine of my entire life that would not go away, finally went to the ER thinking I did have a brain, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And but the accountability is I totally created that. Like
mm-hmm.
I let myself fall into this stress, but again, it wasn't a bad, I mean, people have bad stress. This was a busybody, stressful situation that I was consumed with.
You know,
but then it was like the minute it released, it was like I allowed something in, is how I want to say, and it was terrible.
Well, they say also when you have that much stress, your body secretes a lot more adrenaline.
Yes.
And adrenaline will keep those at bay. But the minute you relax,
that's what happened to me.
The adrenaline is not there, and boom,
that's
you're
exactly
like...
what, like 100%. Mm-hmm. I will take that.
That is an excellent point.
The description of exactly what happened to me. The adrenaline was up, 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 up. And then mm-hmm. I just had this like, oh, all's good in the world. She's happy. We're happy. It's all good. And then,
boom.
I mean, the next day. But then I have to watch myself. So, when people I'm around know my story, you know what the first thing people do? Oh my gosh, I'm getting that shingles vaccine. I'm like, no, like I don't want to, like, I mean, I don't want to be an advocate, because you do you, but don't, I don't want to be your advocate to do that. You know,
and
I want to be an advocate of don't
I
let stress.
I manifest a lump, you manifested shingles.
And I acknowledge
so that
it
beloved
me.
Gets a single shingle shot, they're just going to manifest it in another way. It's going to happen.
And it has nothing to do with me,
right.
like shot, vaccine. It was I allowed mm-hmm. this to happen. Like I let it in.
Well, but we create our own reality.
We do.
So from that perspective, like anything that happens, even the situation that causes the stress, we create that.
Right.
So going that far, of course, this discussion is about facing those fears, right? Why are we so fearful of...
Good point.
Well, first of all, like, and knowing that we are not like Connie Mendez says, this metaphysician that we were talking about earlier, we're not a quark on a storm, right? At the mercy of our bad or good luck or whatever, right? So...
And I do think that's how many people live their life.
They
just
live their
waiting
lives.
For...
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, my mother did. My great-grandmother had dementia. My grandmother had dementia. So my mom, she just trained me early by taking me to nursing homes and teaching me how to take care
oh
of old people.
Gosh.
Because she knew. She just knew. And she, not only did she manifest it, but she manifested it at a very young age. And I could see these were before, you know, my Catholic days. And I'd be like, you don't have to own this. You absolutely do not have to own this. I knew that. And my siblings and I were like, not on our watch. Well, we're not, this isn't going to happen to us.
That's what I look at, like our older our families or our history. To me, they're teachers, like the Course in Miracle. Like, you saw your mom, so absolutely you're not doing that. Like, if I had a family member that had this, what am I going to do different? Mm-hmm. You know, that's instead of just, oh well, that's just my luck. I was born
with that.
Because you
have genetic test. I mean, really, I just,
that's so not true. Everything's different.
Everything's energy.
Of course, the genetic testing that you're you're inheriting could be also because you still have that mindset that you inherited. It's obviously manifesting in your body. You are going to have what your ancestors had because you are still in that same mindset.
Right.
Very logic, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
As above, so below.
What epigenetics will teach you is that it's an environmental thing. So, okay, maybe you have the gene, but the gene only manifests into cancer when the energy and the setting and the environment is set for it to do so. And so the reason why these beloveds who are carrying this gene, if you will, manifest it is because they have learned how to create the same kind of environment that they grew up in.
Mm-hmm. And they're so, believing that they may get their mom or dad or uncle. That's a great point. The epigenetics is just so such a good way to really understand that, you know, that we have all kinds of that expresses, and genes turn on and off all the time.
Here's another example, okay, having to do with environment. So I had a really good friend from high school, and her sister-in-law passed of liver cancer, and they were her caretakers. Within months, guess what she got?
Liver cancer.
She found a lump in her breast. She's pregnant. They run all sorts of tests, and it's in her liver. And it's so...
The fear of watching someone crept into their minds.
And so when you think like, oh my gosh, I hope I don't get that. I mean, you're still putting that out there.
Mm-hmm. That's why the question should be, if you see any fear of that in your mind, what beliefs, what thoughts are there that I'm not aware of that, or that I don't want, that are making me feel like this, right? I think asking ourselves that question would be the most important thing to clear our minds on anything in our subconscious, because really sometimes we're not even aware, right?
Well, and we're influenced, I would say, you two more than I do, you know, like very organic diets, and but the food, I mean, it's hard to get away from the anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, if you think Diet Coke's gonna cause, you know, everything can go, where we know you can't really be fearful of anything on the
Yeah, but also, like what you said, you know, your body, like when you were out of town and the choices were very limited, and you kind of like, you don't resonate towards certain food anymore.
Right.
Your body kind of rejects it naturally.
So I'm reading this book right now called Outlive, and it's The Science and Art of Longevity by Peter Attia, and he's a MD that actually I think got away from practicing. But every chapter is a bit different. But one of the things he is talking about, like, is genetics and precursors, and also studying people that have lived like well beyond 100. And those, he said, it's so difficult because if you ask them, oftentimes you ask these people, he said, most of them are female. But if you ask them, like, what's your secret? I mean, many of them, I have a shot of bourbon every night. You know, like, they're not all living
smokers.
Right. I mean, honestly, so it's like, what is the magic sauce? You know, and that's what he's trying to figure out.
And it's not necessarily genetics.
It's not.
Because my grandmother, who had dementia, my godmother is her younger sister, is 100 years old right now, spry. She says she's got a good 5 years left into her. Y'all, from the time I was born till probably the time when she was in her 50s, she was a chain smoker. The woman could have 2 and 3 cigarettes in the ashtray. Still going strong. And she just has this whole different attitude, if you will, about life. I hadn't talked to her in a while. Anyway, I called and I haven't been there, right? So I'm introducing my, oh, here she is right now. You can hear the joy in the caretaker's voice because they love her. And she's just on the phone, and she's so happy to hear from me, and she's just laughing. And
so they have vices, and they said, but I guarantee all of them have joy and don't take life too seriously and just mm-hmm. happy wherever they're at. And that's what I would feel.
I think the other thing we have to keep in mind is that longevity is not necessarily the goal of every soul.
But true.
Some goals just come here and are already planning an early exit.
Right.
So dying young is not necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes, you know.
Well, that's the other component of just the fear. So if I die tomorrow, I know you ladies know I'm going to haunt your ass.
Right.
But I'm so glad you mentioned it. Why are we fearful?
You know, you're not going to die.
And sometimes, like my grandmother, for instance, mm-hmm. she was a very joyful soul. She lived life to the fullest. She was always funny. She was funny. Mm-hmm. She played tennis till she was 75. She was always active. And then in her later years, so one example is we took her to the doctor and she had apparently cancer all over her bladder, terrible mm-hmm. bladder cancer. And they wanted to do this. Her options were to either have this very invasive surgery, you know, and it would maybe buy her, and after discussion, I'm like, no, why would we? She's 80. Why would we do that? Anyway, my point being, we never talked about the cancer. She kind of forgot about it. Years later, we take her to the doctor. There's no cancer. You know, it's kind of a story in my family that she just never... We never talked about it
again. She didn't buy into
it. When we made the decision that we weren't doing anything for it, we never talked about it again. And she never talked about it. And but I also, when you talk about her choose, I think she just chose. Like, she just chose a lot of her friends were gone. She was living by herself. You know, it was just, it was her time. It was okay. Mm-hmm. You know, she had a great life.
And y'all, we talk about this in a sacred way, because we don't want to make anybody wrong. You know, whatever choices you make, it's important. That's your choice. But what we hope you walk out from this, away from this podcast, is don't make your decisions in fear. Because when it's your time to go, you're going to go regardless. And it's like this lump that I have. Every sense, every fiber of my being tells me you're not going to die from this. You need to continue to take care of yourself, but you're not going to die from this. And so I just don't focus on it. And at least not that aspect of it. I try to focus on what next am I supposed to learn, you know? Because I created this, and I'm very, very curious. Why? What did I create? What is it that I'm holding on to? Cancer is anger. I don't think I'm angry. Well, you know what? I've manifested this. This is here. And you hear the tone in my voice. I am not beating myself up. I am experiencing this. I am a human being experiencing this. I'm not beating myself up for having created this situation. It's just counterproductive, and it will not help. So, and that's where we're coming from, loves.
And I would also like that. I personally feel like our bodies are amazing. We don't give our bodies enough credit that it can regenerate and it's perfect and it's what it can do.
If we take care of the mind that feeds the body.
Yes, and... Yeah. That's how I feel. I'm like, I feel like our body regenerates all the time, and sometimes we interfere in that because we don't think there's no computer or test or medicine created that is better than the perfect creation of our body. I don't think. Look at nature. Yes.
Right.
Nature's perfect. Mm-hmm.
So, well, thank you for joining us today.
All you perfect beings out there.
We hope that you feel our love and our respect for any of your decisions. And we will see you next time. Until
Journey into the Vortex.
We hope you have enjoyed today's dialogue. Please do not hesitate to let us know if you have questions, suggestions, or simply want to connect. You can reach us through our website at journeyintothevortex.com, Facebook, or Instagram. We hope you will join us again as we continue this transformative journey into the Vortex.